Once again, in-person gatherings in the legislative chambers and in many of the committee rooms are strictly limited due to the ongoing pandemic concerns with COVID-19. The House will operate under a fully remote protocol with only a few members and a few staffers allowed in the chamber at a time. Representatives and staffers will have to show proof of vaccination, and anyone working in person must be tested regularly. A rapid testing site has been set up on the Capitol building. The Senate, and we're going to hear from Senator Wilson, he'll explain this more in detail, sounds like they'll allow a maximum of up to 15 senators on the Senate floor, along with up to three staffers from each party in the wings of the Senate chamber. So everyone, of course, must have their negative COVID test, regardless of their vaccination status or their political affiliation. Regardless of their political affiliation, must have their vaccination status. As the session convened Monday, five senators announced that they had been tested positive for COVID. Senator Wilson joins us, I believe, from Olympia. Senator Wilson, thanks so much for joining us today on Town Hall.
Mike, thanks for having me today. Always a pleasure.
Appreciate you, sir. So how are things this first week of the 60-day legislative session?
Well, you know, Mike, we're often running, but we're not running efficiently. We're not running effectively as we should. We're really at the bottom of the barrel on how open government works. It's a little bit better than last year. Last year, we had helicopters and National Guardsmen, and a fence had surrounded the Capitol legislative building. At least the fence is down this year, but it doesn't matter that the fence is down. The public is not allowed in any of the building in the legislative campus up here. But at least you can walk around on the grounds and wave to people through windows. So it's an improvement so far.
So members of the public, that is the residents and the taxpayers, the citizens of the state, will not be allowed into the legislative chambers or onto the campus inside the office buildings?
Well, the way you describe that, I'd like to correct you if I could, sir.
Please, sir.
You're talking about my bosses. You're talking about the people that I work for. The public is the power to government. We'll spare the Article 1, Section 1 on the show today, but in fact, you're correct. My employer is not allowed in these buildings. Now, I am, and we do go through testing. We have an automated system. We don't have to show papers as of yesterday. They ended that requirement as our passes will work if we have one of the 3 days of testing and get a negative test. But we're escorted at times, and it feels very kind of gloomy is a word to describe it.
So then, Senator Wilson, how do I go about meeting with you in person as your constituent to address my concerns and for you to hear my concerns?
Well, Mr. Wallen, you can meet with me anytime you want in person. You're just not going to be able to do it in the other real estate that everybody owns called the Capitol. You're not going to be able to do it at the People's Place here in Olympia. You're going to have to do it someplace else. And there's any place in the 19th Legislative District is okay to visit with each other.
Well, thank you. Senator Wilson, at the top of the legislative agenda, as we understand, is the supplemental spending plan to add additional spending to the already $59 billion biennial budget. The governor has expressed concern to address social and economic disparities, to fight homelessness, and to address education concerns, as well as other issues. Senator Wilson, did you have an opportunity to hear the governor's State of the State speech in the empty state reception room?
No, I saw the governor on television and did listen to his speech, per se. And as you coined it, Mike, we're approaching $60 billion. Under this current governor, our budget's doubled. And rather than be, if anything, for reserves, we just keep unveiling budgets to spend more money as if it's sustainable. And Mike, anybody is very well aware of the economic duress we're in. We have the highest rate of inflation in Washington State than we've had in 40 years. The truth to the matter is we finally have a domestic negative migration. Yes, people have left Washington State more now than ever. We also are getting new numbers to saying, uh-oh, drug overdoses may be killing more people in Washington State now than any virus does.
Senator Wilson, another concern that's been expressed, and we're beginning to hear possibly some movement, which is high on the list for many legislators, is various forms of proposals to curb the governor's emergency powers to bring back forth some accountability. Are we seeing any movement concerning restricting this one-man rule?
Well, Mike, I'm glad I'm here today on your show, and I can tell you that as of yesterday, I do have some news on that topic. I am the ranking member of the State Government and Elections Committee on the Senate side, and that's the committee that would hear this. I've been pushing a Senate Bill 5039, which is a very simplistic gubernatorial emergency power reform. And this is such a simplistic bill, you just got to leave it alone. It is too good to be true. However, the problem is that this bill comes in the form of the color red. It is a Republican-sponsored bill. I'm a co-signer. As of yesterday, I was informed by the chair, they are not going to hear it. They're not going to hear it this year, and they're not going to hear it next year. But what I was told yesterday is that the majority party, the Democrats, are putting a bill together, and we should see it in a couple of weeks. I asked who was doing it, what the bill would say, and they don't know, but it's coming. So I'll offer you this, Mike. We're just going to have to wait and see. You'll have to have me back on the show to see if that is in fact materialized. But the current emergency reform bill that I was so proud of and been pushing has definitely been pushed aside by the chair under the promise of another bill is coming. I'll just hold my breath.
So there's a suggestion that the majority party will finally take action to bring forth a proposal to rein in these emergency powers, at least to offer some accountability for the actions taken by the executor. And the hope is that maybe they'll have a bill that could have a hearing. Is that right?
That's the hope. But this is one of the many partisan blunders on something that we should have came together in a bipartisan fashion 2 years ago. And I'll offer to your listeners, Mike, that we did just that. 2 years ago, or last session, we all proposed on the Republican side to actually bring in the National Guard to assist our hospitals. They didn't want it. But as of today, it's all of a sudden a good idea. Last year, the Republicans dropped the only emergency reform bills to curb in the overreach of the governor. Last year, that was a bad idea. But this year, they're thinking about it. Last year, we protested the long-term employee payroll tax. We protested it. It was a bad thing. Well, they finally admit it's a bad thing, so a year later, they're going to try to fix it. Last year, we rolled out police laws that now have resulted in the highest crime rates, violent property crimes, drug crimes, record 400% increases in certain violent crime levels, all complements of things that we put on the radar over a year ago and said, let's fix this now. We were shot down by the majority, and all of a sudden, well, wait a minute. They may want to talk about it this year. I don't care whose idea it is, Mike Wallen. I don't care if it's a Republican or a Democrat that gets a name on the bill. We better do something. The games need to stop. We just need to put out bipartisan legislation.
On the line is State Senator Jeff Wilson. We're talking about the state legislature having convened the regular session here, the short session, 60 days in Olympia, and what's happening there. Senator Wilson, another bill that you're working on our behalf is Senate Bill 5493, which proposes to reopen the Renewable Energy System Incentive Program for residential systems. And as we've seen with the dam busters talking about busting up the dams, the cost of energy skyrocketing, etc., now more than ever, it's been so important for us to find more ways to be energy independent. One of those is for those people who can to put their own energy systems at their own homes. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct, Mike. As we all know, America is a big and proud country that we are. We recently were energy independent, but that's all changed now. And in Washington State, we know that we're going to become more and more reliant and be at the will of Olympia, be at the will of elected leaders you may not even have met before. So why not drop a bill that says, why don't we give homeowners, not big corporations, not big pharma, not any particular bus line or any public transportation, why don't we design a system that makes it affordable so that a homeowner can be energy independent, independent of the politics of all of the duress when it comes to our energy needs. Like you mentioned, the governor has announced another study to take out a lower Snake River Dam. In other words, Mike, where are we going to get all this power? Not just to blow dry our hair. We're talking about power to keep our food cool and to our modern lives functioning somewhat. Why not we create an opportunity to have your own gas station at your house?
Now, Senator Wilson, you've done a good job of getting some bipartisan support on this bill. With that bipartisan support, with the co-sponsors helping you with this, and the bill referred to the State Senate Environment, Energy, and Technology Committee, do you expect that you will at least get a hearing on this bill?
Oh, yes. Mike, I'm going to get a hearing on this bill, and actually I'm proud to say a few other of my bills already early on in this session. And these are bills that matter, and I'm grateful that the chairman of these committees have realized that we've got some decent legislation out there. And let's not play party politics. Let's hear this. Let's get it in front of the people in committee. The solar bill is very important. You mentioned bipartisan support. Well, with my catalytic converter bill, Senate Bill 5495, I have more Democrats on my bill than I do conservatives, for example.
Well, that's an important point to highlight, because it's not exactly partisan politics in Olympia on every issue, is it? It's just only on those as a matter of holding the governor accountable is it party politics, and a few other issues. But thankfully, we can be thankful on issues such as this that are good common sense policies that we do see some bipartisanship cooperation.
Yeah, Mike, you know, and that's what we need. That's what our legislature needs to do, and that's focus on legislation that matters versus forcing down platforms and agendas that really, really don't benefit the state on a return on, well, a quality of life. The catalytic converters, I'll let everybody know that out of the top 10 states for catalytic converter thefts per 100,000 automobiles, guess who's number one? Washington State. These crimes have gone up just in 1 year over 470%. Washington has become a hot spot for bad people behaving badly and stealing other people's catalytic converters. Mike, I'm sure you know of somebody or some company that has been victimized by catalytic converter thefts.
That is just amazing, the amount of damage that is being done and the amount of theft that we've experienced. Senator Wilson, thank you so much for joining us and giving us some insight today on what's happening in Olympia. We appreciate your advocacy so much.
Thank you, Mike. I look forward to next time.
Thank you, sir. Bye for now.